There's a new breed of revivalists that are emerging in the earth today. You were born into the greatest hour in all of history. Your job is to prepare the way and to usher in the reign of Jesus into a city and into neighborhoods and workplaces and campuses. This is what we were born for. Nothing else will satisfy you. There has to be a holy dissatisfaction. It says, God, I will not be satisfied until the entire city is saved. What you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be one of those few that says, I don't care if anybody comes with me. I'm going to give myself for revival.
You are listening to the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. We are at episode 2 of the JCLP, now standing for JC Ladies Podcast.
That's right.
Because the ladies have taken over. I am Kim Walker-Smith, and I am here with Becky. Of course, she is my partner in crime as we plot to take over Jesus culture and the world.
Yep.
And we are joined by Sherry Silk and by CJ Leibscher. And we've been having a great time talking about awesome things and telling lots of fun stories and laughing together and really just plotting how we can, you know, keep this going and have a spinoff or something.
That's right. Keep banning out.
Yeah, the women just taking over. It's been great.
We're still covering leading when it's hard. So we hope you're taking a lot away from it. We love this topic. We're going to get more into it. But before that, so Banning always talks about sports, and I am not what I call a sportster, but CJ.
I am a sportster.
Don't laugh at my terminology.
Sportster.
Sportster.
I know. It sounds like a car.
I'm
sure there's
a
car called that.
No. I'm not a
sports fan.
Okay.
Yeah, or
I'm not a sports.
I don't know. A normal, awesome person.
I'm not
would
a
be
normal person.
What we are.
Wow. Ouch. Yeah. I'm not a normal person that likes sports.
Let's talk about what you do like, Becky. No.
Well, so CJ's here. So they're a huge sports family. And right now, March Madness is going on. By the time you listen to this, it'll be over. So, you know, we'll have to see how things turn out. But I hear there's some kind of, I don't really know. CJ, you'll have to explain it. There's an office pool.
For the bracket
competition,
yes,
of some sort.
And as us women are taking over the podcast, I have taken over the bracket, and I
Way
am in number
go.
One.
Woo,
and woo. I'm not so tech savvy, so I didn't know this until Andrew texted me and said, "Have you seen how well you're doing?" And now that I know I'm number one, I'm making sure everybody else knows I'm number one.
Awesome,
because I really like to win things.
As
so
you should.
Yes.
We got a
yes.
staff email from Zach. He set it up that we're doing brackets for.
I don't even know.
I can't believe you don't know this.
Isn't that what goes on your braces?
Oh my gosh.
I thought I finished that already.
So I didn't even click the email. Did you, Sherry or Kim?
I looked
are you guys,
at it and said, what is this? And Zach said, I don't think you should play.
I'm taking all three of you out, and I'm teaching you some things about sports after this.
I clicked on it, and then I filled it out, and I've never done anything like this before. And I thought, okay, I think these are teams, and I'm supposed to guess who is going to win. And I looked at it, and I was like, okay, Albany, and there's like another one. And I was like, you know, I was born in Albany, Oregon, so I'll pick that one. So I picked Albany.
Awesome.
And then it was like UCLA and something else. And I thought, well, I like Los Angeles as a city, so I'll pick UCLA.
Oh, no.
So I just went through the whole list like that, and I decided, you know, I'm going to get an E for effort and just participate and be a part of the team.
Hey,
you know?
That is awesome.
But I have no clue what's going
on. I will say the first year I did it, I was actually similar to that, but
now you know.
I now understand it more.
Isn't there some sort of, you know, system to the madness?
What do you win?
Oh, that's
you
a
win
good question.
Bragging rights of being the most awesome person in the office.
Oh.
Is that it?
No. Is there anything else we win?
I don't think
she
so. I think
it's
no, there isn't.
I might play if you could actually
win.
If there's
win
something.
A
prize? Come on.
Give us an incentive.
Well, there's little numbers next
I'm
to the name of each team. It's
what.
A little number, and that is their seed, which so the higher seeds are the one, the better teams, supposedly, that are going to win. So you can logically just go through and pick the highest number.
Seeds.
That's seeds like you plant seeds?
It's like their rating within all the other schools that they're playing. So there's seeds. Like the number one seed is the best team in that.
It's okay, now this is a whole other topic. Why are they called seeds?
Oh, maybe I'm calling it the wrong thing.
Biblical.
I'm not
okay,
so.
Okay, if you can tell us, if you guys can tweet Kim.
A bunch of farmers
and
decided
to
make up March Madness.
Why are these teams
Let's call them seeded. Yeehaw, everybody.
Go to the stove.
Go to the stove. Oh, goodness. All right, well. This is madness.
Oh, people help me. I need some other That's women right. that know sports in here.
All right. CJ, thanks for carrying the torch on that.
Seriously.
We
seriously.
Support you.
Yes.
Way to go, number one.
That's right.
Rocket leader.
I'm number one.
We're glad you're
Easter's
one.
Right around the corner, and I love holidays. Like, I grew up, and we had to go to bed because the Easter Bunny, which Easter's about Jesus, and we know that. But my mom liked the Easter Bunny, so we would see the Easter Bunny like this giant person in a big furry suit, which is kind of scary. Like the pictures that I look back on, I'm like, that is creepy. But so we'd go see the Easter Bunny, and then my mom would say, okay, he's gonna visit, so you gotta go to bed. And then I would like have visions of some giant life-size bunny
nightmares.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But anyway, there'd be a huge. It'd either be on the table or some year she would hide it, and you had to find your Easter basket.
Yes, so I like to do that.
Did you guys grow up with that, Sherry? Did you?
I am the youngest of 17 grandchildren, so they were all willing to tell me that there was really no Easter bunny. But we still hid, did the whole thing. And for a season in our life, we worked in a group home, Danny and I. And so Danny totally got into it. We were working with group home kids that often had never really experienced holiday type stuff. But he would make these challenges and see how hard they could work at finding these eggs. So he would actually, Easter springtime is still kind of chilly out. Mm-hmm. He would put money in eggs and sink them in the bottom of the pool.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good one.
And they would go, they would get them. They would dive in fully clothed because they're racing to get
awesome.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
I think just so he could laugh or something.
How about you?
Did anyone ever get their Easter basket hidden for them and put in the dryer?
No, that's a good one.
Yes.
Mine
was in the dryer one year.
I think I'm the worst hider ever. My kids are I'm like, go find your baskets. And they walk out. They're like, I found mine, Mom. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I thought I was so good.
One year, my parents went all out, and it was in a tree with a pulley system.
Ooh.
And so we had to get the pulley system and, like, get
that. That is really into Easter right there.
Did you get your basket?
I don't remember thinking about the Easter Bunny. I just remember thinking about the chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
That's really all I thought about was just the chocolate.
Now, you have like a thing for chocolate. You and chocolate.
You could call it that.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like an obsession. It's like
it's an obsession.
It's like part of your bio that you're a chocolate lover.
I am. I admit, all kinds of chocolate. I just love chocolate. Well, I can't say all kinds because I am partial to Swiss chocolate directly from Switzerland, preferably dark. I love chocolate. That's all I thought about. I remember one year, though, my grandpa put some quarters in the Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. And that was a game changer right there.
Oh, yeah.
At that moment, I was like, chocolate and quarters. That's what I went after. And I didn't care about any. I mean, I'd open an egg, and if it didn't have a quarter in it, I would just throw it back. Mm-hmm. Let my little siblings, let them find it. I just wanted the ones with quarters.
I don't want no Tootsie Roll. I want a
jelly
quarter.
Beans.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember those decorative sugar eggs that were like a picture inside of them, and it was made of sugar?
Yes.
My grandma always had one, and one year I snuck behind it and would slowly lick it whenever I was at her house.
Oh my gosh.
Just the back of the egg until soon I made a hole in her big decorative sugar egg. And I just remember her being so mad at me. She was like,
"That's funny,
CJ." But why would you have a sugar egg with little bunnies in it if it's not for eating?
That you can't lick.
Yeah. That's true.
But I think she did try to scare me. She's like, I don't know what chemicals are on that. I'm fine.
You're like, chemicals?
Yeah. Tasted good.
We do like a big Easter dinner with the ham and everything. And my mom, she still talks to me kind of like I'm six. And so she called me just the other day. And she goes, I just ordered the butter lamb. And I was like, oh, which a butter lamb. There's a local market where my hometown is, and they form a big block of butter like a lamb, and then you have it out, and like we scrape.
Your family was really into Easter. Like, you were not joking when you said mom was really into Easter.
No,
wow. I mean,
so
that is.
You have to, like, place an order for the butter lamb. Well, this, then when I met Derek and he came over, I was like, look at the butter lamb. Like, they'd bring it home from the stores in a box, and it's huge. It's like a big butter lamb. And he was like, what is this? I was like, you don't have one? And it was the first time I realized it's not normal.
And he still married you.
My God.
So now that I kind of realized it's not normal, I was like, Mom, that, you know, and so I didn't want to break her heart, but she's like, I'll send you pictures of the butter lamb.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully she won't listen to this when you break her heart now.
You've got to really like butter.
Yeah, I should post a picture of I'll have my mom send me a picture of the butter lamb so you can all see it.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. I kind of want one now.
I can see the kids chopping it with their knife, shaped like a lamb.
Oh, yeah, we did. We would, cut the head off.
Yeah, that's what my kids would do. They're like, get the legs off.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, there you go. Easter baskets, quarters, chocolates, butter lambs, sugar eggs. What's your favorite Easter tradition? Yeah, let us know on Twitter and on Instagram. We want to know. So we're going to dive more into the topic again. We're going to hear part two of the message clip from Kim speaking at JCLA on Leading When It's Hard.
Jesus, he is in the garden and he's praying. The Bible says he was literally sweating blood, and he knows what's about to happen. He knows that he is about to go and endure the cross, something so painful, something so horrific. And God is pouring out all his wrath, the sin of the whole world, upon Jesus, upon one person. And in that moment, he's saying, God, if there's any other way, if there's any other way that this cup could pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. In that moment, Jesus, he understood. It's like he's getting on and he's going, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain, Jesus Christ. I need everyone to take a seat and buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. But I promise you that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'm going to be with you through every step of the way. That's what Jesus knew. He knew that the life in front of us, the things that we would face, the choices that we would have in front of us, he knew that it would be difficult. He knew it wouldn't always be easy, that it wouldn't always just pan out maybe exactly how we thought or exactly how we dreamed, that there was going to be times where we have to make the tough decisions in order to move forward and in order to connect with him, in order to stay in intimacy with him. But he knew going into it that that is why he had to go to the cross. And he had to make a way. He had to make a way for us to walk in that kind of intimacy with him. It's not enough to just show up to church on a Sunday morning, to go through the motions, to go through the routine. It's not enough just to receive Jesus and to not allow him to transform your heart and to really take hold of everything that he's given you. That God the Father, he was saying, I not only want to give you a way to freedom and forgiveness for your sins, a way to eternal life, but I am sending my son to walk through the most difficult circumstance and to conquer death so that you can walk side by side with me, in intimacy with me, that we can walk through this life together so that no matter what storm comes your way, no matter what comes up, I am there with you every step along the way. Amen. And he's saying, if you hold on to me, if you walk with me, if you lean into me, if you will make those tough choices and you will trust me and you will open up your heart to me, if you will soften your heart, yield your heart to me, then I'll be able to come in and to transform your heart. And we'll be able to go from glory to glory, right? That's what the Bible says. There's three three keys I want to go over. The first one is embracing the season that you're in. God has a plan for your life. We know this, okay? Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord, plain and simple, okay? The Lord will fulfill his promise and his purpose for me. But God, he doesn't just have a plan for you. He doesn't create this plan for your life and this destiny, these dreams, just to dangle in front of you and go, hope you can make it. Hope you can get here. He actually wants you to be successful. When he says to you, I want you to go out and to heal the sick and to raise the dead, to take care of the orphans and the widows. When he says these things, he's not saying it going, and I hope you can figure that out. Good luck. He's saying, I want to walk this out with you. I want to carry you through this. I want to be right there next to you. And I want you to succeed at this. I want you to do it well. I don't want you to crumble under the pressure. I don't want you to give in to fear. I don't want you to give in to any outside circumstance that may try to bring you down. I'm going to go to Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Father's saying right there, the words that I have spoken, the promises that I have made to you, I want to see those through to completion. And I want to see you not just achieve it, but to flourish, to succeed, to do it well. This is the heart of the Father. And in order to be able to do that, we have got to be able to embrace every season we're in, no matter what that looks like. I can say even now that what I do now and the blessing I have of getting to travel around the world and to lead worship, and I can feel in those moments when I walk up on the stage and you have a choice, you're faced with a decision. I'm gonna get really real right now, okay? That decision became really real when we were in Chicago. It was our first huge event, 15,000 people. It's the biggest Jesus Culture event, and it felt really special because it's our event, you know? And the moment I'm about to walk up on the stage and everyone's going nuts, and I know in that moment that I could just give in to the pressure that I feel, and I could just sing the songs that everybody loves. I could sing Rooftops and How He Loves and, you know, go through the songs, and no one would think anything because it's so exciting and everyone loves those songs. Or I can choose not to give in to that pressure, and I can choose to press in to the Lord and ask him, what are you saying? What are you doing tonight? What do you want to accomplish tonight? And how can I help you? How can I partner with you? But that pressure, those the different things that you face, the obstacles that you come up against, God wants to set you up so that when you get to those things, that you make the right choice, you make the right decision. And it's not always the easy decision, and it may not always be the decision that everybody understands, but it's the decision that he will be there with you and back you up. He'll get your back and he'll walk it out with you. Embrace every season.
Jesus Culture presents the Still Believe East Coast Tour with Kim Walker-Smith. I wanna waste it all. Come encounter the Lord and seek his presence at a night of worship with Kim Walker-Smith leading songs from her new album, Still Believe. A and guest worship leaders Katie Torwalt, Christine DeMarco, and Derek Johnson. Join us as we gather together to encounter God through a night of wholehearted worship. Jesus Culture, the Still Believe Tour, featuring guest worship leader Derek Johnson and Kim Walker Smith.
Welcome back to the JCLP. We are talking about leading when it's hard. And we want to dive into just what it looks like for us to do that practically. CJ, you shared in part one about, what was it, Psalm 91?
Mm-hmm.
You repeated it over and over and over again, just reading it out loud to yourself. You know, when you're in times of hardship and trials, what do you guys do, you know, to still lead through it and keep your sanity and keep your eyes on Jesus? What are some practical ways?
I guess for me, when you say I'm a leader, it adds all this kind of pressure mm-hmm. sometimes to your life. When you turn around and people are following you. And one of the things that's been empowering for me, I think, just practically, is these three little words, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it kind of relieves the pressure of, I don't have to know everything. I just need to know how to go get the answer. I don't need to know the answer to everything that's in front of me. Even that's as good. A parent, or when I first started speaking or teaching, I'd be like, oh, I'm not spiritual enough. I don't know enough. What if somebody asks me some big, hard Bible question I don't know the answer to? And Danny'd be like, I don't need you to do that. I just need you to be you. Yeah. I need you to be passionate. Just bring what you bring. And the rest we can just fill in until you learn the areas that you don't have yet. So just relieving that pressure and not having to know everything has been really helpful for me.
Yeah, you know, I would think that you're knowing that you're not alone and that you shouldn't do it alone. You know, Banning is actually a huge supporter of me whenever I've gone through a hard time. One of the main things he does, he looks at me and he goes, who are you talking to? And I can't tell you as many times as he would call Sherry for me sometimes, and I would show up in her office in tears, and you just needed to know that you're not crazy and that you're not alone and that you can do it and that you're not a failure. You know, whether it's your best friend, whether it's you just got to look up and see who God has put around you and then lean on those people and draw strength from them. And that I would think that's the biggest thing that the enemy wants us to do is to think I'm alone. I have to figure out how to do this by myself when we aren't. There are always people God's brought around you.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah, and I think that it's so important to make sure that you have a really strong connection with Jesus, that no matter what difficult circumstances you're going through, that you work really hard to maintain that connection. And that means taking the time that you need to be with Jesus, taking the time to develop your relationship with him and to just take a moment to just be with him, to be in his presence. And if you're not stewarding that relationship well, first of all, you probably should not be leading.
Yeah.
But second of all, I don't know how anyone can lead or really just survive life without that connection and without that relationship. And it's just so, so, so important that you really guard and protect that time, you know, take the time to be with Jesus. And even if it's all you have is 5 minutes, that's enough. Jesus can do whatever he wants with you in that 5 minutes. He doesn't need an entire day or hours to bring breakthrough to your life and into your day. Jesus can bring breakthrough in one moment. It's all it takes. So whatever it is, whether it's 5 minutes, an hour, whatever it is that you have, practically you have got to make the time to connect with Jesus and let that be your source of strength and pull on him and pull on that relationship to get you through whatever it is you're dealing with. It's difficult.
Becky's Book Nook. Becky's Book Nook.
Well, hello. Are you here for book club?
Grab your physical book, cup of coffee, curl up in your favorite chair and sit back for Becky's Book Nook.
Well, hello. It is time for my favorite segment of the podcast ever, Becky's Book Nook. Banning doesn't let me do it often. He always says that he always conveniently has a book that we have to feature that month, so I get pushed to the side. So, but you know what? He's not here.
He's not here.
That's right. So this is...
I think you should clarify that at Becky's Book Nook, we believe in the physical books.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Amen. Yes.
That's good.
Yes, we do not read it on our iPads or iPhones or Kindles.
No.
We read books. We mark pages up. We carry them with
that's
us.
That's right.
That's right. So
sometimes I read mine on my iPad, if I'm honest.
CJ.
We'll pretend you didn't say that. We'll pretend you didn't.
I mark it on my iPad.
We'll edit that part out. Yep. We'll edit that part out later.
Just take that part out.
I'm just being powerful, ladies.
That's right.
Last month, we featured a book called Seven Men, I believe. And I was outraged. I said, why is this not called Seven Men and Women or Three Men and Four Women?
Like, that's right.
Seven Men? And Banning was like, oh, it's really relevant to the podcast topic. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this month, I have a special guest, Sherry Silk.
Hello.
She is here, and she's a guest on Becky's Book Nook. She has read an amazing book that we are all going to read now because she told us about it.
Because the title is awesome.
It's called, what is it called?
First Mothers.
First Mothers, and it's about the mothers that shaped the presidents, right?
That's right, and in this, you know, in This Is America, all the presidents have been men.
Mm-hmm. So far.
Mm-hmm. So far. And so it's really mother and son relationships. The author's Bonnie Angelo, and... it's fun because in our busy mother, grandmother type lives, you can read just one chapter at a time because it's one person is each chapter.
Oh,
so it
very
helps,
cool.
Nice.
Helps out.
I love that kind of organization.
Some woman figured that out for us. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's an interesting read because of the circumstances of their lives. You know, Truman, he's the president that said yes to the bomb dropping, and his, he grew up in the era where it's the Depression and all of that, and the sacrifices his mom's made, and there's just really great stories in there about how they helped their sons work through life's issues in the, just unique situations. And the Roosevelt, she was the first one to ever actually get to vote for her son, because the women were not allowed to vote. So there's some interesting stories woven in there. And then you can also see, we don't have kings in our in our country, but these are kind of like our royalty in a lot of ways that we look at them. And then you can see how the circumstances of the mother's life helped her or didn't help her in some cases raise sort of a presidential type person. So
very
interesting.
Cool. I am excited to read it. So I hope you guys join me, men and women, and read this book, because it sounds really good. It's called First Mothers, and we'll put a link on the website to buy the physical copy of the book.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me, Sherry, on Becky's Book Nook.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on part two of the most amazing Jesus Culture Ladies Podcast, powerful Ladies Podcast.
Oh yeah,
and I'm sure there'll be many to come.
That's right. I will make sure of it. Kim will.
Yes,
CJ, you're backing us.
Let's
Sherry.
Yeah,
we're ready.
We're slowly outnumbering the men here.
Yes,
I mean,
it's true.
Our numbers are small now, but they're growing.
Yeah.
They really are.
We're gonna take over.
Banning actually called me the other day, and when I said hello, he says, "I can't handle all these powerful women."
Woo!
I'm like, you're kind of collecting them at this point.
That's right.
Yes,
we had a few new hires that were all women, and so we were very in the minority, but now our numbers are rising.
Yeah. My favorite, really quick, before we go, was when people commented on the Instagram picture saying that there was no women. And I was actually in that picture, people.
Yeah,
I just want to thank you very much for that.
We posted a picture of our staff meeting.
I was right there. It was the back of my head. Thank you very much.
You had your ball cap on, though. So
I did not have a ball cap on, and I did not appreciate that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And, this has been an all-ladies podcast, but I think the men can definitely get something from this. So I hope you didn't turn it off when you heard that it's all women.
No way.
Yeah, so.
I'm sure they all enjoyed it.
We talked about March Madness.
Turned it up, maybe.
Yeah, we talked about sports.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So
we're awesome.
Absolutely. Our listenership has tripled, I'm sure, quadrupled. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at JC Podcast. You could like us on Facebook and check out the website, JesusCulture.com/podcast.